heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
I mean, let's just cut to the chase now. I mean, the big question in all of the things we're talking about here is basically this. Did President Barack Obama's administration frame top Trump officials early in the current president's tenure in order to derail his presidency? I mean, that is a big question. It's a loaded question, and it's one that you really have to think about in the context of everything that's happened and where we find ourselves right now. Well, President Trump came out, and you've seen the parade of tweets. It's been quite something here in the last many days. Hashtag Obamagate. Now, that's kind of where it started. And of course, the social media went crazy. They all took that off, and it trended, and people had a lot to say about Obamagate. But it's interesting how you can package something, because you remember, in American politics, a lot of this is really how you market it to the masses, really. It really comes down to that. I mean, how are you going to market this thing? The one thing about President Trump, he is a very good marketer. Even when we think that he's not or he doesn't know, he seems to know the timing to be able to put things out there. Now, a lot of things appear to be unraveling right now, and the timing is always interesting as the country is grappling with these other major issues of the pandemic. And now this other thing had been quiet for some time, as we prioritize, right? Now you've got this sort of coming from the distance now, Obamagate. And the president said on Twitter, said, makes Watergate look small time. The biggest political crime in American history is what the president said. Now, if this is all accurate, and if this flushes out the way it appears to be headed, the president would be accurate with that tweet. It would make Watergate look like nothing. It will totally make that just totally blip on the screen of politics over the last 100 years. This one would become the biggest political crime in American history, for sure. There are three areas I want to talk to you about today. Let's keep this real simple. The levers of justice, what are the motivations, and transforming America, hashtag Obamagate. Now, I had put a tweet out the other day that said this. The symbol of U.S. justice is the figure of a female. So the blindfold, well, that equals justice that does not discriminate, supposed to be. The scales that the judge weighs the arguments, right? And the sword, the final judgment and its execution. And the key is I ended that up with the at the Justice Department, do your job. Because up to this point, I think people have been a little skittish and, you know, we haven't seen any indictments. We haven't seen any of this. And I'm reminded back to what Sun Tzu says. Well, I mean, come on. The wheels of justice grind slow. We've all heard that saying over the years, but it says slow, but grind fine. That's the question, is the grind fine? Will we see that part of that quote there, you see? Because it certainly has been slow. But will they grind fine? Will this thing pick up? Well, Republican Congressman Andy Biggs comes out, and he calls it right out there. Everyone has been a little hesitant now and tiptoeing through the conversation here. He calls it a coup. He says this really was a conspiracy to do something that we've not seen in American history. And that was to actually perform a coup. You really haven't heard a lot of politicians say that up to now. Certainly the American electorate has, and others have referenced that, the coup d'etat, you know. Well, Congressman Biggs goes on to say, that's really what this was. I mean, you can't get to it any more succinct than that. This was an attempt to undermine the election of the people. Well, that's a coup, he says. It's just a place to start. Let me bring on Michael Johns with us to talk about these three areas here. Michael is the national co-founder and leader of the Tea Party movement. He's a former White House speechwriter and a policy analyst with the Heritage Foundation. We're talking first here, Michael, out of the gate about the levers of justice, okay? So that's the first part of this talk I want to have with folks. And you know, this whole thing, let's start first with Biggs when he says, I mean, you don't hear a lot of politicians really putting it out there like that. But when he says, you know, he defines it as this was an attempt to undermine the election of the people. That's a coup. What do you think about Biggs? Do you agree with that statement?
I do agree with that. I think there was no doubt about it. And with each piece of information that's been released over the past several days, we've only had further confirmation of it. I think you could almost pinpoint the date now to January 5th, 2017. Obama has that meeting in the Oval Office. Biden is there. Sally Yates is there. Brennan's there. Susan Rice is there. They only talk about two items on that whole agenda, the dossier and the Mike Flynn wiretapping of his conversations with the Russian ambassador. And from that sprung an entire governmental consensus to both pursue these issues criminally and politically and within media and political talking points. And they consumed 2 years of our country and a vast investigation that couldn't find anything behind it. And now you got finally documents released on the key players who would have, in theory, been aware during this investigation of why there would have been any basis to believe that the campaign was colluding with Russia. I mean, it's an extraordinary allegation. If Susan Rice, I don't recall intelligence that I would consider evidence to that effect. She told House Intelligence Committee on September 8th, 2017.
That's right.
Loretta Lynch, who was Attorney General, could not say, she said, as it relates to any evidence on Russian collusion. James Clapper, who was DNI, I never saw any direct empirical evidence that the Trump campaign or someone in it was plotting or conspiring with the Russians. And Samantha Power, I'm not in possession of anything. I'm not in possession and didn't read or absorb information that came out of the intelligence community. Mm-hmm. So you got basically like every single player there for the most part who would have been aware. I mean, Clapper, Susan Rice, Attorney General of the United States, all under oath, say they have nothing.
They come on the record.
And yet, that's what they're telling the House Intelligence Committee behind closed doors under oath outside in media. Both members, Democrat members of that committee, including Adam Schiff especially, and those who testified that they had nothing, suggested that they had everything. So you can go back and look at what Clapper said over that time. And, you know, he was very straightforward that he was sure that there was collusion.
Well,
Schiff said there was collusion.
They don't have that. You see, there are two conversations all of these politicians are having or these bureaucrats are having. One is their official statement to Congress, and they know darn well they got to be real careful there because that'll put them in jail. But it's not a jailable offense to throw lies to the media, the television and the newspaper. This to me is the big problem here, and that's where the rubber meets the road, and that's why we're getting all this double talk, you think?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It was really a two-track process. Number one was they were aware there was no substance to the allegation. Mm-hmm. The allegation itself was like entirely absurd. The only collaboration that had existed politically with Russia was, of course, by the Hillary Clinton campaign in its putting together the dossier of lies that were the basis for what I agree was, in essence, a coup attempt. And simultaneously, all these individuals under oath say no evidence of Russian collusion. And then out in the public world where public opinion is formed, where the opinion was ultimately formed that was the political consensus to start the Mueller investigation and sustain it during all that time to influence the 2018 congressional elections, they were very straightforward, not in saying, hey, there might be collusion here, but saying there undeniably was collusion. Yeah. And it is an enormous disservice.
Well, it is. And the big thing we've just pointed out is the narrative, the two different conversations that are having. So, and that makes it really complicated, because this is where people get lost, and the American people get lost, because, you know, they're thinking when they say something on television or in a newspaper that it's gospel, or that, like, that's supposed to be the truth, and it's not the truth, and they can lie there, and they do lie. It's not the same conversation they're having to Congress. They're entirely two different conversations. So on record, they're saying, well, no, I don't have any evidence. Well, no, there's nothing there. But when they're on CNN or MSNBC or in the New York Times or Post or somewhere, Politico, they're saying a whole different thing. And they're, you know, which tells you a lot, because it tells you they're icing this thing and they're trying to go for a slam dunk, and they're trying to convince the American people for something that is not true. I mean, this is bold-faced lies we're seeing across the spectrum of political and media. And this is the danger in all this. This is where the media has got into the back pockets of the politicians and the politicians with the media. And these cohorts, this... what's happened is it's unraveled our justice. We talk about the levers of justice. You put a tweet out just the other day. It says this: like most, I am hopeful that Obama and his cohorts are held criminally responsible for a vast number of crimes now described ad nauseum by me and others. But justice is not hashtag Obamagate hashtags or more bloviating by conservative media. It is indictments and only indictments. So what you're talking about here is put your money where your mouth is. I started off saying, well, we really aren't seeing any indictments. Let's talk about those slow wheels of justice a moment. And what you say here, we start to see the justice wheels start to move ever so slowly. But again, we've been at this for several years now. And people are upset with Director Wray, Christopher Wray, because, again, he appears to have done nothing. And they've known all this right along. None of this is really new information to these people on the inside.
I think we can go as far as sort of saying there's two horrific developments here for American justice. One, of course, was the coup attempt, now I think more broadly understood by the American people. The second offense, which hopefully is one that is still able to be corrected, has been this Justice Department's apparent unwillingness to hold those individuals accountable for what certainly appear to be criminal acts. And in almost some respects, the latter is as concerning as the former, because it's in the present tense and it's being done under the watch of an administration that has said it is committed to righting these wrongs. But I see no evidence whatsoever. You and I had a conversation about the IG report. I mean, and that was being made out to, you remember all the vast buildup to this, that, oh, wait till the IG report comes out, boy, the, you know, justice will then be served. And that, you know, I had said to, I think at the time, that those who were looking for that to come out, for justice to come out of an IG report, don't understand how IG reports work. And now, honestly, it's the Durham investigation. And I say, you know, if you look, Comey, Strzok, Rice, Clapper, Brennan, Obama, Biden, Hillary Clinton, all the individuals that you in theory would want to see under the serious watchful eye of any serious investigation of this matter don't appear to be even being touched. And I think that's suggestive, sadly, that this Durham effort is more of an administrative review of process than it is an actual special counsel-like investigation, which we had right. Mueller to get right. with prosecutorial green lights and authority. And, you know, maybe like Strzok gets, you know, indicted. That's possible. Something comes out of it. But you don't see this being structured in a way that would lead you to have any degree of optimism that it's designed to identify wrongdoing and hold those individuals criminally accountable.
The president put out a tweet, a very interesting message, when this whole information had come forth on Flynn with Judge Sullivan. He said, yesterday was a big day for justice in the USA. Congratulations, General Flynn, and many others. I do believe there is much more to come. And then he says, dirty cops and crooked politicians do not go well together. Now, the part of that tweet I want to focus on is this. We're talking about justice here. I do believe there is much more to come, he says. Dirty cops and crooked politicians do not go well together. Now, this is the president where he speaks very simplistic, very straightforward, very plainly to the American people. Americans can understand what he's saying there. I mean, that's in English. Dirty cops and crooked politicians do not go well together. Okay, that kind of sets it up for this. Now, I see a headline, Michael, in Politico that says this. Senate Republicans break with Trump over Obamagate. Now, again, you always got to watch these headlines because, again, as I just stated to you 10 minutes ago here, what's happening is there's always two narratives. There's the truth of what they're telling to Congress, and there's another truth that they're telling to Politico, the Washington Post, the CNN, the MSNBC. That's the deal here. There are two different conversations here, and nobody's really catching up to all of this. In that Politico article, let me read you a couple of thoughts here, because what's happening is we talk about what you're talking about. You're frustrated as I am. I can sense with your messaging, but you and I are a reflection of the American people right now, because the American people are frustrated as hell over all of this. And they're seeing those wheels grind ever so slow, almost to a halt, they think. So Politico says this. President Trump's aggressive campaign to encourage sweeping investigations of his predecessor, Barack Obama, met a unanimous response from Senate Republicans. No thanks. Now, this is the conclusion they drew, Michael. Okay, now they go on to say, Trump's Senate allies stopped short of echoing Trump's claim that Obama acted illegally, and they indicated that the Senate would pass on investigating the former president as they conduct their own investigations that could, you know, ensnare other senior Obama administration officials. Now, a couple of things here, Michael. Other senior Obama administration officials. The Republican establishment here is real careful. From what I've seen, from what a lot of them have said, they are being very careful right now that they're not talking about President Obama, but they're talking about Obama officials. I'm going to tell you right now, there is a real hesitancy and a real challenge for these people. They do not want to call a president out. You know, in this country, we tend to give, I think, a president, a former president, a free pass. And that seems to happen time and time again. I haven't seen the proof in our country where history goes back and corrects itself. I think it just keeps moving forward, and it doesn't do that. What do you say to that?
Yeah, well, with one prominent exception. I mean, this president certainly has gotten no free pass. And, you know,
he's not a former president, though, yet. He's an active president.
Okay, but for instance, they wanted him under oath. Remember, he, you know, submitted answers in writing. Right. There was a whole issue as it related to that, if they felt they could have compelled in person under oath testimony. Mm-hmm. At a Supreme Court level, they would have done that. They, you know, as we've talked about, they clearly were very aggressive in inferring and suggesting and even stating that he was engaged in, and his campaign was engaged in, almost criminal level activity here with one of our great foreign nemesis and enemies. And, you know, I think we have a situation where now where the president, you know, is frustrated as well.
For sure.
I hope it's pointing, and I believe it's pointing to this conclusion, you know, now like 3 years into this administration, that it takes all these departments and agencies to be moving in one direction. You mentioned Christopher Wray. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you're going to drain the swamp with Christopher Wray. I mean, Wray was, as I recall, was an assistant attorney general under Comey in 2003 to 2005. He's part of that whole group. It was Wray and Mueller and Comey Mueller was at the FBI under Bush 43, who all were threatening to leave over the perceived illegal surveillance under the terrorist surveillance program. Though they apparently had no concerns whatsoever as it related to what, you know, certainly appears to be unjustified illegal wiretapping of a Trump campaign aide.
So he's corrupt as well. People is what have you're a saying, long. Right?
Well, no, I don't want to say simply because someone has worked in the same body and within the same context and with these individuals.
Fair enough.
They're necessarily corrupt. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying to think that somehow he's going to have an independent school of thought.
That's better.
He's not going to be potentially influenced by a long-standing. I mean, Christopher Wray's relationship. Mm-hmm. with Comey is a lot stronger by 100 times than his relationship with the President of the United States.
Why did he put Ray in there?
Recommendations by people he trusted, I believe.
Okay.
You know, why did he put Ray in there?
Right.
It goes, you know, you can go, I can rattle off a bunch of names within the FBI the Justice Department where those are legitimate questions of these appointments. But you can't ultimately, when you talk about clearing people out, you talk about draining the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
You got to drain these departments and agencies.
That's it.
So if you reach the conclusion, as most of us reached like 2 years ago, that we had an issue within the Department of Justice that required urgent attention, you're not going to solve it simply by tweets.
That's it.
commentary, by another Sean Hannity show. No, that stuff's not going to get it done. You ultimately got to fire people that are part of the problem, good people that are part of the solution, and indict people who are engaged in systematic criminal behavior. Amen. None of those things, in my judgment, have been happening.
You just nailed it right there with what you just said at that moment. The system is corrupt. And what's happened is when you become part of that, back to what we call the establishment kind of thing, and then things begin to become derailed a little bit here. But I'll tell you what, I think Michael just nailed it with what he said right there, man. I mean, and that's what we're talking about, people, with the levers of justice here. But I want to talk about motivations in the next piece of the conversation with Michael. Just before I do that, let me speak to you on one other thought here. And Michael, just hear me on this. And when we come back, I want you to talk about this here. We talk about, we always use the word establishment. What does that mean? You know, established bureaucrats, established politicians, deep state stuff, deep swamp stuff. Like Michael says, if you're going to do X, you've got to be able to get the levers in there. I'm going to say to you, I don't think, my guess is that the president didn't realize two and a half years ago that it was this deep and this bad. I don't think he realized then. And when you look back at the mannerisms and some of the conversations back 2-3 years ago, I don't think he was totally convinced yet that it was this serious. Because now, I think what he's doing now is the gloves are coming off. And you're seeing hashtag Obamagate. What's happening now, people? He's throwing it right out there. And he's saying, you know what? Like Michael said a moment ago, I've had enough. I've had enough. And here it is. Well, Lindsey Graham comes out. He says, I'm not anticipating calling President Obama. Now, this is the Senate Judiciary Chairman. He says, and this is the panel, by the way, investigating the origins of the Russia investigation. And a lot of conservatives and a lot of Republicans are very upset with Lindsey Graham because he talks a big story, but is he acting on the big story? Which is what Michael Johns is saying. These people are not following through. They're not going for the indictments and doing what needs to be done. And seems like everybody's getting off. And so Graham comes out and I mean, he says, I think the president's got a real good reason to be upset with the Obama people. You see how he says Obama people? So here's what's happening, Michael. They are getting ready. The Republican establishment, but many of these leaders in Congress, they're fearful. I think people are petrified. I really do believe they think somehow that you cannot go after a former president, no matter what, no matter who. And I've heard that said to me so many times over the years, well before Obama. And I think we give them a pass, more or less, these former presidents. And so here's what he says. Well, he should be upset with the Obama people. Well, who the hell do you think the Obama people report to? I mean, come on, people. you know? And so it gets even, it's interesting, and it gets really unraveled here. And when you look at the Justice Department, and as Michael was just saying, we're all waiting for the next report. It's always that way, isn't it? The next IG report. Oh, that's going to be the big bomb. Now it's the John Durham report. And is that going to be the bomb? We keep being set up for the next report. In the meantime, we waste all this time as the wheels of justice come to a halt, basically. And now you're seeing the establishment rise up, like Senate Majority Whip John Thune comes out, and he says, okay, that's already being looked at, he said, as far as, you know, these this whole investigation he's referring to here. This was another report here. He says, and we've got relevant committees up here that are taking a look at some of those issues too. I always think at the end, eventually the truth comes out, and I'm sure it will here too. See, I eventually think the truth comes out, and I'm sure it will here too. That's what they're doing, is they're setting this up. Yeah, I think it will, but you know, it should. You know, isn't that the way justice works? Because it's blindfolded. So it's right, as I said to you, my tweet up front there, right? And even Chuck Grassley, you know, you think, well, he's a good, you know, voice. What's he got to say? He says, given all that we know about the fake foundation of the inquiry, you think it's time we ask, what did Obama and Biden know, and when did they know it? That's always a question they ask in Washington. You know, what did they know, and when did they know it? Like, give me a break, you know. I want to talk to you next about motivations here. We'll be right back with Michael Johns on The Voice of a Nation in just a moment.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, healthycell.com/sleep.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
So I think you would agree with me, America is the land of the free. It's where we pride ourselves. You know, one of the things I've always heard in my ears growing up as a young boy is the peaceful transfer of power. That's what made America exceptional. We're back with Michael Johns here. What supposedly separated the United States of America compared to all of the other rogue governments out there and all of the other has-beens and wannabes, Michael, was that we have the peaceful transfer of power at the highest level. Here's the thing. We didn't have a peaceful transfer of power here. I mean, it's clear, and history's going to show it very soon. The Obama administration was threatened by Trump and the Trump administration. The loaded question I think I ask you, and we're seeing Obama now come out. We're seeing the conversation he had with former staffers just here this past week, where he says, and listen to this, the rule of law is at risk. The guy has the audacity. I mean, this is right out of Alinsky's playbook. The rule of law is at risk. He has the nerve. I mean, these people more than double, triple down. I mean, these people are, they're just, it's an, you know, Michael, I'm going to tell you, it's an art. It is truly an art. These people that they're able to get up there on the cameras and the newspapers, and it's an art form that they just, they project everything they're doing and they throw it on the other side and they do it well. Why was the Obama administration and Barack Obama himself threatened by Donald Trump and the Trump administration? And I'm talking about the peaceful transfer of power, because it didn't happen here, Michael.
Well, they were never threatened by anything within Washington, D.C. I start with that. I've tried to explain that many times, that nothing with even differing ideologies within the context of the swamp were never threatening to them, because their greatest fear was always the people. That is why, in my judgment, we had an IRS targeting. And illegally, and now since acknowledged as such by the IRS of the Tea Party movement, which preceded all of this. Tom Fitton at Judicial Watch, who I think the world of on these issues, has said basically, can anyone think that a president who would unleash the IRS on political opposition movement like the Tea Party movement would not unleash his own intelligence community on his political foes? The precedent started with the targeting of the Tea Party movement. And I think it is true that they probably, you know, were hugely frightened, shocked, concerned, offended even at Donald Trump's victory. It would have been at any Republican's victory, but this wasn't any Republican. This was a particular candidate that many of us, me included, have supported very strongly because he has the instinct and will to challenge some of the swamp's institutional wrongs and some of its outright fraudulent and unconstitutional ethos and behaviors. So his very election was terrifying to them. In that first meeting he had, in that first 90-minute meeting he had right after the election, with Hillary Clinton being defeated surprisingly to them, he tells, you know, he spent a large part of that meeting with Trump. He talked a bit about North Korea and how, why that was a concern, but he mostly honed in on Michael Flynn. You know, he honed in on Flynn, and he, you know, definitely had an obsession with Flynn from the very beginning. And then, of course, comes the January 5 meeting that I referenced, where he brings together, you know, all of the senior officials who would potentially be involved in launching this incorrect and really scandalous argument of collusion, and sets them free to go basically spread it throughout the entire universe and to get the, you know, justice involved, get FBI involved, to, you know, send the FBI agents in to set up Flynn. Let's be clear, it was a setup. You know, even now in the notes that were revealed on the agents who interviewed him, they didn't coordinate with White House counsel as they would usually do. Yeah. Comey bragged about that. Sure, do we want to get him fired, or are we trying to kind of get to the answer to these questions? Yeah. You know, it was clearly a politically motivated line of questioning, not just for the purposes of getting rid of Flynn, but getting this whole argument sort of going.
Yeah.
Aha, there was Flynn talking to the Russian ambassador, which, by the way, should not be surprising. Every transitional period, you would expect that foreign policy and national security officials would reach out to major powers and
Absolutely.
Start to have Absolutely. Conversations. You can only imagine how irresponsibly they would have been depicted yeah. if they had arrived on inauguration day and had no communication with Russia
Unprepared.
Up until that time. And in yeah. fact, I dug up this morning and put out a quote on Obama's own communications with Russia during the transition period.
during his transition period.
Yeah, you're so right. They would have been laughed out of town because they were supposedly unprepared. You see, what's happened here, Michael, they needed the narrative. So what they did is they took the Flynn thing now, and that was a narrative they needed to pump up the media. See, when you have nothing and you've got no fire, the only thing you can do is create as much smoke as you can. So you need a lot of smoke to be able to create, try to catch something to catch on fire. So if you think about the visual people, so there is no fire. There is no nothing. There is no collusion. There is nothing that happened. I mean, there was nothing tarnishing President Trump to come in and be the 45th president of the United States. The only thing is the powers to be did not want him there. So they needed to create smoke. Flynn was smoke. But also all these other cats like Manafort and Gates and all these other people they tried to set up.
But Mike Flynn also, let me just address Mike Flynn. I mean, Mike Flynn also was the one person who would unearth and had both the knowledge and the will to unearth the fraudulent nature of the Russia allegations. He had run DIA for 2 years. From 2012 to 2014, he would have had access and would have pursued a lot of this information. Yeah. And he had had, let's face it, a very contentious relationship, to say the least, with Obama over the agenda of Islamic terrorism globally. Yeah. Yeah. So they had every reason to be particularly fearful of Mike Flynn as a national security advisor.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you say there, but they needed all this smoke to create a fire. And that's why you start adding, you've got to have, the point is, in order to have a drip, 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 drip campaign, if you're going to put the headlines in the Times and the Post and Politico and put them on the television stations and do all the things you got to do with the megaphone, because they own the megaphone, then what you got to do is create all this smoke. And so what happens is when the American people continue to see these drip, drip, drip stories coming in, Michael, they could clearly begin to see, well, God, there's something there. Well, the president must have done something. I mean, this entire media apparatus can't be after the president for nothing, Michael. Come on, what's the matter with you?
Well, he's got to be guilty. That's my point here is that for us now to be saying, as many of us, many on our side of things are saying, that justice is finally being served because these documents are being released. I mean, kudos, okay, to our director of intelligence for getting that information, declassifying it. That's beneficial for public knowledge. But to say that justice has been served, justice has been ill-served here.
That's right.
We had 2 years of the entire political agenda that should have been two of the most productive years of this administration wasted on this investigation. We have almost certainly criminal behavior on behalf of senior officials, possibly including the President of the United States, of the last administration in launching all of this.
Yeah.
And my point in comparing it to the IRS, illegal IRS targeting of the Tea Party movement, was I long said that there's no way a IRS mid-level official is going to do that on their own. That's, if you feel that, you don't know the way government works. That is a Oval Office directed decision. And the same is true here. The idea, the thesis that this campaign and this president was colluding with Russia was one they created. And even when they went to go and get the FISA warrants for Carter Page, when you look at the evidence that they produced to get those, which itself was fraudulent, itself was illegal, itself was a violation of any officer of the court on a lower level to have done what they did, they presented this dossier that had been paid for by Hillary Clinton's political funds, retaining Christopher Steele with Fusion GPS, who, by the way, was an MI6 agent who had been posted in Moscow to obtain all this information. Steele, now it turned out, himself had reservations about the document and the accuracy thereof. And then they kind of leaked that. I think they had a Yahoo News article that came out on it. They went before the court. They're like, here's this dossier. Here's an article that's been written about the dossier. Here's communications with the Senate about the dossier, and finally, the State Department's developing their own dossier based on the dossier. What all came back to one single piece of information that was 100% inaccurate and was 100% a politically paid for document designed to undermine the credibility of the President of the United States. So itself, so the very origins of this, in my judgment, go back to that collection of that data, the misrepresentation of facts before a FISA court, which is, you know, really when you get to the way justice, and I mean, that's like one of the most frightening violations of justice you can envision in a free country as ours, a closed door secret court ordering monitoring and surveillance of an opposing campaign. Let's be clear, that's what happened here. And then based on all of that, you know, continuing to encourage the snowballing of this whole thing, which we've talked about, saying one thing behind closed doors under oath, saying another thing to Rachel Maddow. And then even on our side, if you sense frustration with where I am on this whole thing, it's a frustration, you know, you quoted a certain Republican senator saying we need to know what Obama knew and when he knew it. Well, here's a really radical idea. Why not ask Obama what he knew and when he knew it, and ask him that under oath as part of an investigation?
It's too radical.
And that brings me to my final point. I have, I believe, reached the point, and I don't believe I'm alone in this, in concluding that this Justice Department is almost certainly incapable of unearthing all of the issues related to this, what you called correctly, a coup attempt. I don't believe the Durham investigation is going to contradict that thesis. And the only way to do it now is through special counsel. Okay. So my point is, as you quoted in my tweet, we're not going to get this done through tweets. We're not going to get it done through complaining about it, you know, in the public or in the media.
That's right.
We need a special counsel in this Justice Department singularly focused on how this unbelievable notion that the President of the United States was involved in colluding with a foreign power is able to launch an entire investigation, monitor that campaign, almost certainly illegally, and engage in all of these other criminal offenses for the purposes of maintaining political power.
Yeah. Well, you're not the only one. So special counsel, well, you're not at all the only one. Senator Josh Hawley comes out. He says it's time for a special counsel to probe the Obama administration. He says this, and I quote, he says, "The more we learn, the worse it gets." He says it's time for a special counsel to conduct a full-fledged investigation into the Obama administration's potential ties to the FBI's alleged misconduct in the Russian investigation and in the case against former White House National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. So Josh Hawley now is on record for also requesting a special counsel. But a lot of the other politicians I just read to you a moment ago, the established players, are very reluctant to do the radical idea you mentioned moments ago here, Michael, which is to sit Obama down and find out on oath what he knew or what he didn't know or what he was involved in. Because as you've already stated, and most of us know what's happened here, none of these things happen in administration without the boss knowing. It doesn't happen. I mean, people, there's no way it happens. So, I mean, the president's always going to know at this kind of a level that these things took place. They always, all roads go to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue when you're talking to the kinds of conversations we're having here. As we now, I want to talk next here in our next piece of the conversation about this transforming of America, hashtag Obamagate that we're talking about here, and what has taken place with all of that. We'll be back with Michael Johns in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
All right, I started the conversations today talking to you about three things I wanted to do. I wanted to talk about the levers of justice, however slow they may or may not move. What are the motivations behind all of this? And the transforming of America. Hashtag Obamagate, right? And we talk about the wheels of justice, and we're here today here with Michael Johns. And Michael, we're having a very interesting conversation as we're unraveling the pieces here. I think of a very thoughtful talk as far as getting you all out there to understand what the stakes are. Again, what we've got to do, I believe, is convince the rest of the American people that the narrative they've been hearing for 3.5 years has been a bogus narrative. And so all that smoke they created with all of this nonsense is now filled the room up. And now we're trying to get some truth out of it. And you hear Michael say, well, it's time now to get a special counsel. Well, again, Senator Hawley came out and said the same thing. Josh Hawley says it's time for a special counsel. I think you'll maybe see other politicians lead the way on that as well. Let's talk about transforming America. To do that, I want to bring you, Michael, back to something that just happened here. I mentioned up front the tweet that President Trump put out there about the biggest political crime in American history. And he referenced the fact that this will make Watergate look very small. Well, just after that, at a news conference this previous Monday here, he was asked at the conference what crime he was accusing Obama of committing. Now, this is where the media tends to get their usual smug ways. Should the Justice Department prosecute the former president? And so President Trump said this. He said, it's been going on a long time. It's been going on from before I even got elected. And it's a disgrace that it happened. And if you look at what's gone on, and if you look at now, all this information that's being released, and from what I understand, that's only the beginning. Some terrible things happened here, and it should never be allowed to happen in our country again. The president was asked again, well, what's the crime? And the president said, you know what the crime is, he said to the reporter. That was from the Washington Post, who asked the question here. And the crime is very obvious to everyone, the president says. All you have to do is read the newspapers except yours. And there it is, Michael. The president calls out the Post, of course, because he knows exactly that. So when we talk about this transformation of America, and we talk about former President Obama, there's a lot of history here, and there's a lot that's happened over his 8 years in office. So a couple of thoughts here to you. Did former President Obama think he could pull this off, do you think? Now, obviously, they wanted Hillary Clinton to be the next 8 years. They didn't get that, clearly. Now they're trying to go and cover a lot of things up that are going to tend to start to flush out, probably. How cocky does one get when you reach such heights in your life, like this particular former president, and then he decides to go? Because, well, I think I would say to you is this former president, 44, had gone rogue. I think his administration had gone rogue, and I don't think they were ready to transfer the power. And so they had a secret shadow government, Michael. They set up the OFA just down the street there in Washington, D.C. with Valerie Jarrett, and they kept all their wheels moving forward with all their players all over the place. And, you know, they had John Kerry still going overseas and going to the Middle East and doing all kinds of things over there, right? I mean, so all that's going right on. I mean, so you see what's happened here. I mean, there was no peaceful transfer of power, is my point. This is serious business.
Well, yeah, and some go further and say, was there in fact a transfer of power at all? See? I mean, to the very question of when all of these things are going on, you've had a inauguration day and a new president's taken office. Have you really had a change in leadership when this entire infrastructure of individuals that the American people just had an entire referendum and vote on are still running, basically, all of the foundationally important infrastructure of American government. And I am, as you know, a huge supporter of this president, have been from day one, through thick and thin. I have supported him. And I do believe that for him to ultimately prove successful, he's going to have to engage in bold acts of leadership and acts that are going to prove irritating to certain power structures within Washington. So to take the comments at that press conference, I mean, that's all really interesting. If it's outrageous, is it outrageous enough to have a special counsel appointed? Because so far we don't have a special counsel appointed. Where is the special counsel? If it's going to prove bigger than Watergate, it certainly doesn't appear that those charged with administering federal justice in our government right now are taking it anywhere close to that seriously. There's a much stronger case, in my judgment, for special counsel for these offenses than there were for the alleged offenses in the Mueller investigation.
Exactly.
Remember, we have counterintelligence capabilities. That was the other thing. You and I may have spoken about this. I believe I had said, you know, if the issue is what did Russia do in the 2016 election, we should definitely endeavor to understand all of that. And I think we have done that and more. And we learned they did a few things here and there, not much. No indication that one single vote was altered. But you don't diminish that threat. We have enormous infrastructure to be able to assess precisely those questions. We didn't need Robert Mueller to bring in his Hillary Clinton-aligned investigative attorneys to get to the bottom of that. We had people to do that. And of course, none of us were surprised when the conclusion was, yeah, there was no, even though I think you had a number of people there who desperately wanted to suggest that there was something unethical or wrong. There was clearly nothing, no real communication with the state. If anything, there probably should have been more communication with foreign powers and with Russia. You know, a low-level guy who ends up getting and basically entrapped in this whole thing, springing off an entire national scandal of nothingness, ultimately of nothingness. And then even that's not the end. You really look at this presidency to date, and you have to say there's been three components of it. I was thinking about this today. Yeah, the Russia Mueller investigation, that was all consuming, 2 years, and then it ends. And you have the Ukraine impeachment effort, all consuming, and that ends up going properly nowhere. And now, of course, the coronavirus, which I will not blame that on Barack Obama, but it is possible that we have China and other forces who could have done more to be helpful here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really a shame because those three incidents have been consuming, and yet this president's still done some great things. He's doing some fantastic things, accomplishing some things, but those are all-consuming undertakings.
So the question that I think escapes a lot of people is, what sort of a transformation did Barack Obama envision for America? I mean, why go to this level of back? I think what really bothers me, Michael, is the fact that the peaceful transfer of power didn't happen. And like you said, maybe any kind of power didn't happen at that point. There's almost a shadow government playing out. So the question is, what do you think Obama's real motive is here? What was it? And what did he want to accomplish with this transformation he promised the American people?
I think it was big and large. I think he understood all of the global components of the influence of American power. And I think he had great concerns about Trump being able to build political momentum to gain access to information related to what occurred in those 8 years. I have long contended that the Russian investigation was not an offensive play on the Obama administration's part. It was a defensive play designed to put the administration on defensive so they would not be unearthing the unethical and even criminal activities that occurred during that administration, including, oh, by the way, with an attorney general who, you know, was himself engaged in contempt of Congress and in, you know, an entire administration of secrecy and politically driven behaviors that were routinely unethical and detrimental to the American public. So I think that was the motivation. The motivation was designed to put the administration on defense.
That's it.
And when you think about it, ultimately, when you have all of the activities and inquiries that they were having, that this administration had to confront this first 2 years, you have to ask the secondary question, what weren't they able to do? Well, one of the things was that entire Justice Department was consumed with, you know, responding to letters of inquiry and providing testimony, and also created, a political culture where it potentially looked retribution if they actually did launch an investigation of any of these legitimate offenses. Yeah.
Well, the big point you're saying there is so accurate when you talk about the defense, and it really is rather than an offensive, this was a defensive mechanism that it appears that Obama had used for a lot of cover-up over all those years is what it seems to be coming down. And then we see the president's words here, the biggest political crime in American history. And I know that Michael would agree in saying that, you know, there's been nothing in our lifetime that will rival this. Nothing will come close to this one. This is it. This is it. This, again, was the first time we've seen where the questionable peaceful transfer of power did not take place. I don't hear anyone saying that quite that way, but I'm saying it to you today. And I think that is the underlying message of all of this. They didn't want to pass on the power to this administration, and they did everything they could to undermine it. And they spent all kinds of money, the endless supply of money, over 3.5 years plus to offset what the American people wanted here. And this is not what our country is based on. What a conversation. Big thank you to Michael Johns. You know, friends, it's these are moments in our history where we have to really step up and continue to push justice forward. And as Michael's saying, it's time to get the special counsel. It's time to get indictments. And I think that's what we need to begin to push for now. If there was ever a time that we needed a special counsel, that time is now. Thank you for being with me and being part of the mission here. And let me ask you to do your part now. It's time to get involved and get loud.